So last Sunday, we celebrated the gifts of Mary and her courageous and prophetic song of praise, the Magnificat. We considered with awe and wonder her yes to bearing God's love for the world in spite of all the challenges that meant. This Sunday, we look to an often understated member of the Holy Family, Joseph. We don't sing songs about him or his role in parenting Jesus or nurturing his family, but there is much to be said about and learned from him. Matthew's gospel account says that in the midst of the miraculous scandal that is Mary's pregnancy, a dream changes everything. Just when Joseph has made up his mind to let Mary go quietly, an angel shows up while he sleeps and says, "Don't be afraid. This is all part of the plan. Love can't wait. Prepare him room. Be his chosen family. Name him Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us." And with great courage, Joseph gets on board and does as he has been guided. Every time I think about this, I have to admit that it blows my mind a little bit. And it also makes me think that this probably isn't the first time that Joseph has demonstrated courage. And we certainly know it won't be the last. Theologian Mary Daly reminds us courage is like a habitus, a habit, a virtue. We get it by courageous acts. It's like we learn to swim by swimming. We learn to courage by couraging. What I love about this story is that it reframes what we often think of as courage, and it invites us to practice it in new ways. Usually, our notions of courage are about strength or heroics, but that's not what we see here. Instead, here the hallmarks of Joseph's courage are vulnerability and imagination. Researcher, professor, and author Dr. Brené Brown has written much about the relationship between vulnerability and courage. For an introduction to her work, if you're not familiar, I commend to you her Netflix special, The Call to Courage. But for today, I'll share just a couple bits of her work, beginning with this. The root of the word courage is cor, C-O-R, the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, the word courage had a very different definition than it does today. Courage originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. Ordinary courage is about putting our vulnerability on the line. In today's world, that is pretty extraordinary. So what then is vulnerability? She continues, vulnerability is not about winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up even when you can't control the outcome. And in addition, she writes this, vulnerability is uncertainty, risk, emotional exposure. There is no courage without vulnerability. Uncertainty, risk, emotional exposure. Yikes, y'all. It definitely takes courage. And as I imagine young Joseph having just changed his mind to remain with his young fiance and her unborn child who isn't his, the uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, the vulnerability of that decision is enormous. It's senseless, really, absurd, preposterous, impossible. But he does it anyway. Why in the world would an angel visit dream that could have been indigestion for all he knew be enough for him to embrace such a path? I think that it's because courage, in all its vulnerability, also requires imagination. Joseph, it seems, could see beyond the current reality into what was possible. He could imagine beyond biological family to chosen family. He could imagine the unimaginable, that all of this just might be true, that God's love might be so unstoppable and irresistible that it was going to be born by Mary and born into the world in the most vulnerable and unimaginable way of all. Even for us today, to say yes to such a story requires the same kind of vulnerable, imaginative courage. Like Joseph, we have to be able to envision what is possible on the other side of uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure of a faith that calls us into deep relationship with God and with others. Because as biblical scholar Dr. Caroline Lewis reminds us, the promise of Jesus' birth and Jesus' name is God with us, not God with you. That first person plural pronoun establishes how God in the flesh chooses to be in the world, not for our individual gain or theological guarantee, not for our personal salvation, but to remind us of who we are meant to be and supposed to be, people in community, people with God, people oriented toward the other because of God. God with us corrects God is for me. God with us corrects God is for us. God with us helps us remember that when we do turn away from others, we turn away from those who need us and those whom we need. We turn away from accountability and responsibility. As I've reflected on these words, I can't help but wonder, what if Joseph had turned away? Surely his path would have been easier. But instead, we see that courage as vulnerability and imagination require us to turn toward all the messiness and complexity that is loving God and loving neighbor. Indeed, there are so many contemporary implications for our own call to such relational vulnerability and imagination. Too often, I think we soften the deep challenges of the Christmas story to fit our plush cartoon narratives or our whitewashed ideas about how cozy the Holy Family must have been alongside the critters in the manger. But such a powerful, peculiar, impossible story calls us to more than that. Shortly after today's passage, Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus takes a harrowing turn. The mystical magi find their way to Bethlehem, and shortly after they leave, another angel comes to Joseph with a vision that requires yet more courage. Already displaced from Nazareth, already with no place to stay in Bethlehem, at least according to Luke's telling of the story, the angel says to Joseph, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And amazingly, again, Joseph does this. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. Talk about vulnerability and imagination. To escape Herod's threats of death, this brand new family with a brand new infant sets out all the way across Israel and the Sinai Peninsula for Egypt. This is no ordinary story. Rather, it is an extraordinary and unimaginable one. Yet we make ourselves vulnerable to risk believing it year after year after year, and we choose imagination anyway. If that is true of this ancient story, I wonder how we might see God with us in this present age. And I wonder how we might embody Joseph's courageous vulnerability and imagination to help us recognize those in our midst who just might remind us of the Holy Family if only we'd allow ourselves to see them. Families displaced from their home countries, families experiencing poverty, families on the run from violence, families in need of a warm, safe place to live. If we are willing and able to imagine such an extraordinary possibility, that our neighbors in need bear the image and face of God and the Holy Family, how might that challenge us and change us and call us to courageous relationship and visionary action? To stir our collective and individual imaginations about how such loving courage can't wait if we are to build God's home here and now, I want to invite us to see the Holy Family anew. In just a moment, we're going to view a series of images depicting Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. I'll share the title and artist or the community connected to each image. Then we'll spend a few moments considering it in silent reflection. May our hearts be open and courageous so that we might encounter God. The first is an icon called Refugees, the Holy Family, by Catholic iconographer Kelly Lattimore. The second is called Refugees, La Sagrada Familia, also by Kelly Lattimore. Third is a photo of a nativity at Claremont United Methodist Church in Claremont, California. Next is a photo from a production of Langston Hughes' classic musical drama, Black Nativity, from the Karamu House in Cleveland, Ohio. This one is called Jose y Maria, a comic by Everett Patterson. finally, one more of Kelly Lattimore's icons, this one called Holy Family of the Streets. Dear ones, with Joseph's vulnerability and imagination, may we be courageous enough to experience the ancient story in new ways so that we might be moved to present action. For love can't wait. Our neighbors can't wait. We need to draw closer to God's intended home here and now. So may we have the courage to hear and live these final words from Benedictine nun Sister Ruth Fox. May God bless you with this comfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. May it be so, friends, this day and each day. Amen. Friends, let us affirm our faith together using the words from a brief statement of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Please be seated. Welcome again, friends, to worship with First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem. We are glad to be together and extend a special welcome to any of you who may be visiting with us online or in person. There are a number of ways that you can get to know us as a community and what we're doing in the world. You can learn more at our website, fpc-bethlehem.org. There you can also sign up for our weekly newsletters and electronic communications. You can also learn more on our Facebook page. We invite you to get connected and to learn more about this community together. Online, you can also use the donate button to make a gift to Christ's work in the world through this church if you feel so called. We are grateful that you are with us. A couple of announcements about things going on in the life of the church. First being that the building and our preschool are closed this week in observance of the Christmas and New Year's holidays. But do know that on Wednesday, December the 29th, the south entrance down by the main offices will be open for any end-of-year donation drop-off needs. So if you still need to make your final gift of the year to the church, you can do that Wednesday from 9 to noon at the south entrance. If you're mailing them, they must be postmarked by Wednesday, December 29th as well. Next Sunday, January 2nd, we're going to return to our regular worship schedule with our two services, and it is a communion Sunday. So we hope that you come join us in worship. Hearts and Minds, our adult education class, is going to resume on Sunday, January 9th. So one more week of a break and that class resumes. We're also hoping that our in-person intergenerational class for children and youth will be able to begin in person on January the 16th. We're still working on a few details for that, but stay tuned for more information. And finally, members of the Bethlehem Interfaith Group, of which First Pres is a part, are offering prayers for the new year, a collection of prayers from various faith traditions. You can view it on YouTube Live on Friday and Saturday at 11. While we don't have an electronic newsletter for the church this week, I think that is going to be sent out in an email on Thursday. For folks who receive that and a print newsletter. So we hope that you'll tune in to these interfaith prayers as a way to start the new year with hope and with heart, representing our siblings from a variety of faith traditions. I think that's all in the way of announcements, and so we will turn to God for our prayers of the people. As we do so, I invite us to begin with a deep centering breath. Holy God, we come to you today full to the brim. We are carrying gratitude and hope, dreams and fears, scars and love. And in this moment of prayer, we give it all to you. Thank you, God, for summer camps and family vacations, for crowded tables and porch swings, for churches that become as familiar as a grandparent's house, for friends' homes that have become sanctuary, for all the places in our lives that feel like home to us. We give you thanks for places in our lives where we can follow Jesus' lead, for jobs that bring joy, for hobbies that keep passions awake, for people who encouraged our gifts, and for all who have spoken our call out loud. We have so much to be thankful for, yet we also know there is still need here. So as we lift our gratitude for places and people that feel like home and for calls that change our lives, we also remember those who feel homeless. Draw near to your children who've been forced to choose a new home because they are not welcome in their own. Surround their grief and their pain with your love, and give us the eyes to see and arms to welcome them here. And when fear draws close, pressuring us to play it small and play it safe, give us the courage to be who you call us to be. Help us not only hear your call on our lives, but to live it, even if it surprises the ones who know us best. Remind us that there is nothing wrong with taking up space, for you gave us that space in the first place. God, there is so much good here, and there is so much we have yet to learn. Help us to be people that create chosen homes. Help us to be people that welcome others into those safe spaces. We lift up in prayer all those on our hearts who are facing fear or poverty or grief or loneliness, all who are in need of your companionship and ours. And we hold them in the silence of our hearts. Help us to be people who follow our calls boldly and bravely, with courage, holding open the door for others to follow suit. And now, with the confidence of Jesus, we pray together the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, there are many things we choose in our lives: what kind of car to drive, where we live, the career path we prefer. Decaf or caffeinated, AM or PM, today or tomorrow, read the book, see the movie. All of these decisions and choices about where our time and energy and gifts are spent. So today we are invited to choose this place, to choose this community of faith. Today we are invited to choose generosity, trusting that God can take whatever we give and use it for good. So friends, let us give our tithes and offerings now. Let us pray. Generous God, we give you thanks for these gifts offered in faithfulness. May you bless them so that our world might be changed. And may you bless these people with vulnerability and imagination and courage to be the change we hope to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.